Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing Canto 10, Chapter 35, the gopis sing about Krishna as Krishna's gone off to the forest. They're trying to pacify their feelings for Krishna due to Krishna's departure. And the section is in pairs, two verses, one speaking what Krishna's flute, the sound that it makes and its special quality, and then the second part, this companion verse, speaks okay. Companion verse speaks of how it affects different people, devotees. So this morning, little kind of change of gears. This is Jiva Goswami in Priti Sandarbha discussing Priti, discussing rasa specifically. And because the sound of Krishna's flute, it has a way of stimulating ecstatic love in different ways. And there's some details about rasa that we're going to be hearing this morning. Just a little background. The term rasa, and all of the connected words that Rupa Goswami uses to describe rasa, or the primary rasas, and and how they're stimulated, etc., etc. It's rooted in standard texts. We'll hear some about it, where authorities on drama and poetry have used these terms. Now, drama and poetry, in a conventional sense, is material. So Rupa Goswami used those very same terms about rasa and priti and this and that, that poets use. They know how to use words to create a certain feeling and so forth. Actors on a stage can behave in a certain way and say certain things that stimulates a certain mood in the audience. There's a science to it, like there's a science to anything that's connected with the Vedas. So these are not exactly Vedas, but descriptions of understandings within the Vedas. So the beginning is Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining rasa. Some of you may know. One of the pillars of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's teaching is that Lord Chaitanya's teaching has 10 essential elements, or mulas, dasamula, dasamula tattva it's called. And one of those 10 topics of Lord Chaitanya is rasa. So what I'm going to be reading is a little article published in Bhakti Godhead magazine in 1969, where Bhaktivinoda Thakur is describing dasamula tattva. And when he touches on rasa, here's what he has written. And published in Back to Godhead. Rasa has been defined to be that ecstatic principle which comprehends the various forms of love and affection which can be exhibited between the living being and the Lord. That ecstatic principle which comprehends the various forms of love and affection which can be exhibited between the living being and the Lord. The process of exhibiting rasa relates to its exhibition in man while he is enthralled in matter. But rasa itself is an eternal principle identified with the Supreme Hari. Hari is the ocean of rasa, and in the human soul, only a drop of the ocean can be conceived. Paragraph. Rasa is naturally spiritual. But in man, who is subject to Maya, the progenitor of matter, it has been identified in a perverted state with the sensual pleasure of man in his connection with material objects. The soul losing itself in mind, and the mind acting through the senses, enjoying the perverted rasa in the five different objects of the senses. This is the soul's going abroad with avidya, or ignorance of the spiritual self. That was published in Back to Godhead describing rasa. So it has its material counterpart, but it's actually spiritual. But the worldly people know of it in that way through the material exchanges. So here's now reference Jiva Dharma. Again, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Jiva Dharma is explaining the essential teachings. Here's rasa is the spiritual transformation of the heart, which takes place when the perfectional stage of love for Krishna, known as rati, is converted into liquid emotions by combination with various types of transcendental ecstasies. Just quoting from Jiva Dharma. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Bhakti Rasa is defined. Quote, when Stayi Bhava, or the permanent emotion of the heart in one of the five primary relationships, mixes with Vibhava, Anubhava, Sattvika Bhava, and Vichari Bhava, thus producing an extraordinary taste in the heart of the Bhakta, it is called Bhakti Rasa. Unquote. That's a definition of from Rupa Goswami, what rasa is, or bhakti rasa is. So it's permanent emotion of the heart, situated in one of the five primary rasas. That's stayi bhava. When that stayi bhava, or the permanent emotion of the heart, according to our relationship with Krishna, it mixes with different bhavas, mentioning by name, thus producing an extraordinary taste in the heart of the bhakta, is called bhakti rasa. The explanation of bhakti as rasa is the unique contribution of Srila Rupa Goswami. The common view is that rasa applies to the emotional experience of poetry or drama. This theory of rasa originated from Natya Shastra of Bharata Muni, a famous work on Sanskrit poetics and drama. Rupa Goswami's explanation of how rasa is generated is exactly in accordance with Bharata Muni's definition, semicolon. Yet, Rupa Goswami has explained the experience of rasa in terms of bhakti, or love for Krishna. Thus, there is both a transcendental and a secular conception of rasa. So that's all preliminary. That's not within Jiva Goswami's writing. But now this is Jiva Goswami. And he makes reference to, in addition to Bharata Muni, there's another celebrated person, which Prabhupada refers to like 16, 17 times in Chaitanya Charitamrita to describe rasa. There's another authority that describes the material form which Rupa Goswami directly uses to describe the spiritual form of rasa. So here's, it's connected to the flute playing of Krishna and how that stimulates everybody in different ways. Rasa filled with preeti for the Lord manifests by a combination with vibhava, or special ecstasy, and the other bhavas, mixing some particular affection for the Lord, love, feeling, stimulated by, in combination with other bhavas, that's rasa. Among material poets, there are four groups. Interesting. Listen. One group maintains that rasa chiefly functions through an ancient character who is portrayed in the drama, since the actor is secondary, kind of like a prototype that a person is exhibiting, and that stimulates rasa. A second group says that the rasa resides in the actor who portrays the character, since emotions like fear interrupt the rasa of an actual historical character. The actual historical character is limited, has faults, and the character is material and common, whereas rasa is continuous, unlimited, and uncommon. Therefore, the portrayal by the actor produces rasa. It's all technical, but it's interesting. A third group says that rasa arises in the audience, since the audience adopts the identity of the character by having an open mind through instruction. And a fourth group maintains that if there is skill in the actor, rasa should arise by both the actor and the audience. Paragraph. The devotees, however, accept rasa with preeti for the Lord in all cases, since there is absence of faulty causes like being material. The full rasa, which affects eternally the hearts of the Lord's associates being portrayed, spreads to the actor portraying associates of the Lord. It has been established that preeti to the Lord is not material and not limited by its very nature. It is not produced by poets, as is material rati. It is fixed in the definition of preeti's swarup. Fear and other unfavorable elements can never interrupt the preeti of Prahlad or of the gopis. It cannot be interrupted by birth, as in the case of Vritra or Gajendra or Bharata. It stays with you even from one lifetime to the next. It cannot be interrupted even by the bliss of Brahman. The case of Shukadeva is famous. Its causes are also non-material. Krishna is the cause, or alambana, because he is the unsurpassed form of Bhagavan, and because his associates are similar to him, that must be accepted. This is proclaimed widely in the Shruti and Puranas. And the Udipanas, which act as cause, things associated with the Lord, are also eternal, since they are connected with the eternal Lord. That is shown in the following. Canto 3, chapter 15. The wind, carrying the aroma of Tulsi, which had touched the filaments of the Lord's toenails on his lotus feet, entered their minds, the Kumaras, through the nostrils, and he began to agitate their minds and bodies, even though they were fixed in Brahman. And the remark of Jiva is, Tulsi is the Udipana. Next is a 10 canto, chapter 44 verse. What worship must the gopis have performed? With their eyes, they always drink the nectar of Krishna's form, which is the essence of loveliness and is not to be equaled or surpassed. That loveliness is the only abode of beauty, fame, and opulence. It is self-perfect, ever fresh, and extremely rare. And the comment of Jiva Goswami is, in this case, his beauty is the Udipana. Next is the flute is the Udipana. Chapter 29 of Canto 10. Dear Krishna, what woman in all the three worlds wouldn't deviate from religious behavior when bewildered by the sweet, drawn-out melody of your flute? Your beauty makes all three worlds auspicious. Even the cows, birds, trees, and deer manifest the ecstatic symptom of bodily hair standing on end when they see your beautiful form. So it's his form and his flute. Then, to pious Mother Yashoda, your son, who is expert in all the arts of herding cows, has invented many new styles of flute playing. When he takes his flute to his bimba-red lips and sends forth the tones of the harmonic scale in variegated melodies, Brahma, Shiva, Indra, and other chief devatas listen repeatedly to the sound. Although they are most learned authorities with hearts in submission, they cannot ascertain the meaning and forget everything. Jiva Goswami goes on, a new person attains a state of otherworldliness because of an internal spurti of the pastimes by identification. Spurti means like a ecstatic sudden jubilation of the heart. A new person attains a state of otherworldliness because of an internal spurti of the pastimes by identification, since the descriptions are filled with the Lord's Shakti. So in this case, the Lord's Shakti is the stimulation, and it stimulates ecstatic otherworldly experience. So here's a reference from Canto 10, Chapter 20. Thus, observing the beauty of Vrindavan's rainy season filled with the happiness of all seasons, the Lord considered that season, which was surcharged with his Ladini Shakti, to be proper. Paragraph. Since the clouds are spiritual, the effect is spiritual, in the form of hair standing on end, etc. Chapter 21, Canto 10. My dear friends, when Krishna and Balaram passed from forest to forest with their cowherd friends, with their cows, carrying ropes to bind the cow's rear legs at the time of milking, by the generous sound of his flute, among all living beings, those which move things become inert, and trees which cannot move sprout shoots in ecstasy. This is most amazing. Paragraph, if trees can experience rasa, humans should experience astonishing rasa because of the Lord. It should be understood that this astonishing is accompanied by material disgust, unmada, caused by separation and bewilderment. Astonishing to the common man will be illustrated. Sometimes everyone by nature is amazing. And it makes reference to this text 56, Brahma Samhita, Shriya Kanta Kanta Parama Purusha Kalpa Taravo, quotes the whole thing, the translation, shortened. I worship this Goloka, where there are unlimited gopis and their beloved Krishna, the supreme form of God, where the trees and land fulfill all desires, where the water is as sweet as nectar, where the speaking is singing and the walking is dancing, where the flute is the best friend by announcing the joyful presence of Krishna everywhere, where the sun and moon shine with knowledge and bliss, eternally in perfect form, revealing all things, and where all relishable things are also knowledge and bliss. Paragraph. Singing and dancing are producers of rasa. Thus, the causes of priti are called vibhava as a mature rasa. So that's an outburst of ecstatic emotion, vibhava. The causes of priti are called vibhava, as in material rasa, since in the rasa to be portrayed with uncommon features there exists shakti to produce rasa. The nomenclature follows that of material rasa. And here's a quotation from another ancient text, well, not so ancient, prior to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the 14th century, there was a scholar named Vishwanath, or Vishwanath Kaviraj, and he wrote a book on poetry. What is poetry? The poetics. It's called Sahitya Darpana, or mirror of composition. And he begins describing the nature and definition of poetry, then so many other chapters, rules, and the structure of poetic composition and how this accomplishes that and so on. This is referred to repeatedly in Chaitanya Charitamrita, this Sahitya Darpana. So here's Jiva Goswami referring. Vibhava is what brings about qualification for a sprout of taste or rasa. With excellence of rati and other elements, the other bhavas. So anubhava follows after rati mixed with vibhava, manifesting as the form of rasa. Sanchari bhava directly assists the rati. Doesn't explain. Even authorities for material rasa say that by causes such as vibhava, though material, being invested with an uncommon shakti from taking shelter of poetics, produce happiness from sorrow. Similarly, in spiritual rasa, sorrow produces happiness. Thus, separation produces rasa, according to us. As well, in sorrow produced by separation from the Lord and his bhava, filled with the highest bliss, appear in the heart. Thus, one can never give up the highest bliss, both in union and separation. Rasa is not hindered in persons suffering from hunger for the Lord, since it is like being relieved of hunger by hot, sweet milk. The bhava of highest bliss gives sorrow from separation. Say it again. The bhava of highest bliss giving sorrow from separation is like the cooling moon giving pain to the person separated from his beloved. Jiva Goswami. His point is that the ecstasy is continuous and it may look like sorrow, but it's an ecstasy that's continuous. And the nice metaphor, some lover and beloved are feeling separation. They see the moon and it accelerates their feeling of separation because the moon stimulates emotion. That's people that have mental illness, when it becomes full moon, they really have a hard time because the moon is the presiding deity of the mind. Paragraph. Since that pain, now this is the sorrow from separation again, since that pain arises from the bliss of the Lord and nourishes the future happiness of union, it is included in happiness. Pain. Sorrow. This conclusion is established since union is inevitable and since the devotee has hope of attaining the Lord based upon his words and omniscience, that is, his knowing the pain of the devotee related to his compassion. So surely he will come. That knowledge of his nature being compassionate and omniscience, he knows, and he knows. So it's an ecstasy. Paragraph. Thus, it is concluded that rasa arises from the person depicted by words, acting, etc. That is the chief cause of, since anurag arising from seeing the Lord, the direct person, is superior to anurag arising from hearing about him. Quote, the Lord, this is chapter 90, this is in Dwarka, the residents of Dwarka are speaking, the queens. The Lord, whom countless songs glorify in countless ways, forcibly attracts the mind of all women who simply hear about him. What to speak then of those women who see him directly? So stronger is the seeing than the hearing for stimulation. Oh, Krishna, this is 11th canto. Oh, Krishna, having tasted your pastimes, which are most auspicious for mankind and are an intoxicating beverage for the ears, people give up their desires for other things. And the next verse, again from chapter 6 of Canto 11. We are your devotees. How can we reject you, our dear self, since we serve you while we lie down, sit, walk, stand, bathe, enjoy recreation, or eat? Paragraph. The person portraying the Lord, Anukarta, is the devotee. Since others cannot portray the Lord at all, rasa will arise from the devotee's portrayal. But the Lord's rasa should not generally arise directly directed to the devotee actor, as if he were the Lord, since this is contrary to bhakti. Therefore, this should not be attempted. The realization should be with relationship with the Lord, not with the actor. It is successful as an udipan, or stimulation of ecstatic love for bhakti rasa. If one tries to enact the realizations of pure devotees, then this is possible by being an associate of him, not by being the associate. That is also contrary to bhakti. For instance, the actor will produce, through portraying Vasudevrati for persons having similar bhava as Gada, his son. So now, I don't know what this is saying, so don't ask me to explain it. It seems that what's being said is Krishna is the object. And so there it may be someone carrying some affection for Krishna as an actor or a speaker or a personality of some kind or another. One should understand what's behind it all is Krishna. He's the one stimulating. It's something spiritual that's stimulating. And he's the spiritual that's stimulating. Paragraph. The audience in which rasa arises consists of the devotees. That is established in dramas. In dramas, there are rules for manifesting rasa in the audience. Tamal Krishmarsh, in his preparing Jagannath Priyanatakam, he studied these books, really, really deeply, following Rupa Goswami, knowing that when you write this or say that, or have the actor do this or that, the intention behind it is a stimulation of love or stimulation of some emotion. There's a science to how dramatists and poets can stimulate their audiences. In drama, there are rules for manifesting rasa in the audience. In oral works, the rasa depends on the subject described, as well as the narrator and the listener. For persons with a sprout of rati, rasa depends on all three. For a person with prema, it depends on remembrance, just as listening to seven musical notes gives rise to rasa. And a quote from sixth canto, Narada traveled through the planets, while absorbed continuously in the lotus feet of the Lord, whom he revealed through seven notes of spiritual sound. Paragraph. Prema alone produces all the elements necessary for rasa in such devotees. Prahlad is described, for example, Canto 7, Chapter 4. When his mind became troubled because of the absence of the Lord, he would cry, and then he would laugh on seeing him again. Joyful on thinking of the Lord's mercy, he sang loudly. Now this is Canto 7, Chapter 4. I don't know if that's Prahlad. Let's start to chapter 6. Paragraph. Material rasikas, however, say that even if there is deficiency in a component. Rasa arises from the suggestion of the elements. It's a literary technicality. Moreover, there are two types of rasikas, of priti, for the Lord. One, persons participating in the Lord's pastimes. And two, those who identify with participating in the pastimes. The first type has perfect eternal rasa, as mentioned previously. The second type has two methods. By hearing about the pastimes of the Lord with his associates, and by hearing about the sweetness of the Lord. If, by hearing about the pastimes, one enters as a participant with similar mentality, then he develops a similar bhava and makes the vibhavas current in the pastime become part of his identity. Hearing Krishna Katha stimulates if one's heart is open. Paragraph. There is no discontinuity of vibhava, etc., in tasting rasa to produce feelings of this is someone else's, or not someone else's, or this is mine, or this is not mine. This is a rule from this Sahitya Darpana. So he's referring to the rule, and it's supporting what he's been saying earlier. I don't fully understand all this. It's very elevated and a bit of a mystery. Paragraph. If the person has a differing mentality, the vibhavas, sancharis, and anubhavas generally become ordinary. They become udipanas for his particular bhava, but do not produce rasa. If the mentality is contrary, for instance, madhurya with vatsalya, the elements become udipanas for general priti on seeing vatsalya, etc. They do not act as udipanas for one's particular bhava, and they do not produce rasa. So, Krishna is the object, and different persons who have Krishna as the object of their affection have different emotions. And sometimes the emotion over here doesn't stimulate one who has emotion over there. They perceive Krishna, the object, in a different way. And sometimes they amplify and complement, and sometimes it says they see Krishna in a different way. And they're like that nice verse of Krishna entering the wrestling arena with Balaram. And there's 11 different persons that see Krishna in different ways. So because this one's experiencing this and that one's experiencing that, they don't complement, they don't have anything to do with one another. And then going to rasa, there's one, some that stimulate one another, and some that just see Krishna the way they see Krishna, and the pastime, a particular pastime of Krishna. Like, let's say, when, Jatila and Katila, the mother-in-law and sister, mother-in-law, or mother and sister, mother-in-law and whatever she is, when there's behaviors with Radha and Abhimanyu, they behave this way, and the gopis behave that way, and Krishna is the object, and you know they don't cancel one and out. Their emotions create different emotions, but they may just stimulate their particular loving relationship with Krishna in a very, very different way. Anyway. Paragraph. By hearing about the sweetness of the Lord, rasa arises independently, as in entering the pastime. When priti for the Lord reaches the state of rasa, this is experienced. Priti endowed with vibhavas and other elements is priti maya rasa. It is said, this is now another rule from this Sahitya Darpana, just as by mixing rock, pepper, and other ingredients, a novel taste is produced in the resulting rasa, so by the mixture of vibhava and other elements, a novel taste is produced in rasa. So what particular rasa one experiences depends upon the mixing of the bhavas. And then there's a rasa. There's the fundamental sthayi bhava, the inclination towards Krishna in a particular way. But how it comes out from an individual and even an individual at different times, from one individual to another, or from one time to another within the same individual, it depends on the mixing. So Krishna's pastimes are continual mixing. The metaphor that's used is bhava is like a wave, and prema rasa is like the mixing of waves. Here comes this wave, and it's never the same. Never like the same. It's always different waves. And so the ocean is it manifesting different moods, sometimes and sometimes and sometimes. So the pastimes of Krishna are stimulations of love, sometimes this and sometimes that. And then this is just describing the rules of the ocean of prema rasa. This rasa becomes a form of taste by the udipan, that's qualities of Krishna, stimulate taste or rasa, love, attraction. A portion of the vibhava, which produces all an enjoyable taste of the Lord's sweetness. Now this is now specific to braja, prema, or braja rasa. This rasa becomes a form of the object of taste by the alambana, that's the basis, element Krishna, in the vibhava, that's Krishna himself. The taste and the object tasted are both designated as rasa. This is pretty involved, huh? I'm going to skip forward. The joyful gopis and the priyanarma sakhas, I'll just go back. The alambana has two divisions, Krishna, Swami Bhagavan, Krishna, the object, or vishaya, and his associates, the ashraya, or the vessels of his priti. Both, so there's ashraya and vishaya are part of alambana. Right? You familiar with this? Ashraya and vishaya, they're two parts of the foundation of love. You have to have two to have love. So there's the object and the abode of affection for the object to have love. Both are suggested in the following verse. Here's an example. Krishna as the alambana is as follows. The joyful gopis and the priyanarma sakhas, little boys, drank with their eyes Krishna's face, a continual festival of delight with its playful smile, attractive with beautiful cheeks and ears shining from his marakas earrings. But they could not be satisfied and became angry with the Creator who made their eyes blink. So, very clear, Krishna is the alambana. And then chapter 44 from Canto 10, What worship must the gopis have performed with their eyes? They always drink the nectar of Krishna's form, which is the essence of loveliness and is not equaled or surpassed. That loveliness is the only abode of beauty, faith, fame, and opulence. It is self-perfect, ever fresh, and extremely rare. Paragraph. Even if his sweetness is not manifested by nature, he is their dearest. Chapter 23 of Canto 10. It is only by contact with the Paramatma that one's vital breath, intelligence, mind, friends, body, wife, children, wealth, and so on are dear. Therefore, what object can possibly be dearer than Paramatma? I don't know how much more we have. Svatma means one's own body. Svatma, one's own body. By relationship with me, yat samparkat, a form of condensed bliss, I am naturally dearest. Paramatma is dear since it is my angsa. The jiva, because of a relationship with me as my angsa, is dear. So this is the abode of love and the object of love. Ashray Vishaya topic. By imposition of relationship on other elements like prana, they are also dear. This is made clear by Balaram in another way, where Krishna is with the cowherd boys and calves. Quote, what is this irrational phenomena? This is chapter 13. The affection of all the inhabitants of Vraja, including me, for Krishna, the soul and shelter of all of us, increasing as never before, is now increasing for these boys and calves. It is also said, his complexion was dark blue, and his belt was golden. This is Balaram. Wearing a peacock feather, colored minerals, sprigs of flower buds, and a garland of forest flowers and leaves. He was dressed just like a dramatic actor. He rested his left hand on the shoulder of a friend and with the other twirled the lotus. Lilies, now this is Krishna, not Balaram. Lilies graced his ears, his hair hung down over his cheeks, and his lotus-like face was smiling. Definitely Krishna. And the last, this is a quote from Canto 10, Chapter 23. Your manifestation of excellent preeti when I appear in this way is not surprising. It's the verse after describing Krishna's form. The Lord speaks to the wives of the brahmanas. When I went through this, I didn't go through the entire thing. The earlier part was, I think the main reason that I wanted to include this was just a deeper appreciation of Rupa Goswami's analysis in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of Bhakti Rasa and, you know, the scriptural foundation for it and, you know, details and details and details, of course, but um It's a science. One could say, well, emotion is not a science. It's emotion. But there's a science to how different emotions awaken, and they move from this emotion to that emotion. And something similar to architecture or music, so also poetry and drama, there's a science. Musical notes are just musical notes in one sense, but those who know the science know how to use musical notes to stimulate some emotion or another kind of emotion. You know, I don't know that science, but there's certain, like let's say in an orchestra, a certain resonant or high vibrato, or you know, I guess they must know these kinds of things, that people that are movie makers, because in the background there's some particular music that creates a mood even before the action happens. And it carries you into the scene, the identification. So words and persons in a drama portraying something, that the goal from spiritual drama is to stimulate attraction for Krishna. That's very clearly what Tamal Krishna Maharaj expressed. His purpose in Jagannath Priya Natakam, along with like learning a science they didn't already know, was to stimulate, and it worked, to stimulate emotion in relation to Nila Madhava. It was very effective. You know, all the events leading up to King Indradumna going to see finally, after so much ordeal, Nila Madhava, and he's gone. I mean, I can remember the scene. He comes before an altar, and you know, so many trial and tribulation. He's fine, and the violins are going like this, and the piccolos are going like that, and flute is. And they open the door, and it's empty. And then, boom, and he falls to the ground. So, there's a science to, and the object, the material is, you know, something material, and spiritual is the Lord. It's actually coming from the Lord, even so that the message we're hearing is, even with material drama and poetry, there's some Shakti that comes from the Lord, because it's there in the Lord and the Lord's devotees. It's just a reflection. And it's a mayic reflection. It stimulates materially contaminated and tinged emotion. And there's an original form. And that original form, there's a science to that. As Rupa Goswami has explained elaborately in Nectar of Devotion. And then it carries on in further writings. So each of the details and details and details of Krishna's pastimes is, you know, we're just innocently reading without knowing all these stimulations of this and that. And the stimulation is going on nonetheless. Because there's potencies within, you know, if the heart is open to the sound vibration, that is, you know, material conception is reduced by the hearing process, then just, you know, like a blank slate, or whatever is our, in a deeper sense, besides blank slate, whatever is our natural sthayi bhava or orientation towards Krishna, it becomes stimulated in inappropriate ways. Let's say those that are attracted by conjugal feelings are stimulated in a different way than those that are attracted by parental feelings are stimulated in a different way than those that are attracted by or have a nature of the friendly relation with Krishna. So but potencies are there within Krishna's activities, and potency are there within the description of Krishna's activities, the describing and the hearing. And Shukadeva Goswami is the speaker. And he's the best. Because of his ecstatic mood. So he can portray it in an ecstatic way, and he sometimes just deviates from the narration. It just says how wonderful are these personalities. How amazing. I guess that's the main reason that I wanted to read this section, although it's, I don't understand the science. Maybe one day I'll spend time trying to sort through this and that and the other. I'm sure it makes complete sense to people that know the science. So let's see if there's some discussion. It's already 8:35. Is there anything online? Okay.
This is Radhika Priya Mataji from St. Louis. Guru Maharaj, you mentioned today about the Sanchari Bhava and also in previous classes. I want to know what it is. What does Sanchari Bhava mean?
Ask Sanchari. Sanchari, you send in an answer to that question. Go ahead.
These are two questions from Sanchari. Krishna Katha, heard purely, has the potency to take us into the past tense. Hearing is usually blocked by the mind and all the noise that it produces. Yet, the spiritual sound vibrations are so powerful that the material mind is put to rest no matter how much it struggles. The first question. Out of the 9 processes of devotional service, is hearing the most powerful, or is it just the most powerful method for the age of Kali?
I just looked up the Sanchari definition because I wanted to be sure. So it says continuous ecstasy or continuously existing ecstasies. That's Sanchari. So now, is hearing the means or the end? Is that kind of what the question is?
Is the hearing, out of the 9 processes, is the hearing most powerful in general or specifically to the age of Kali?
I'm not sure. My educated guess is the Vedas are called Shruti and it starts with hearing. So I don't think it's age specific. I think it's principle. Bhakti is principle based.
And Sanchari Mataji's second question is, dreams are usually influenced by what our consciousness is fixed on while we are awake. So in those times, devotees are fortunate enough to have the day be filled with Krishna conscious activities. It seems almost natural that it would carry over to the subconscious. When devotees dream of Krishna and his associates, is it just because of the carryover from the daily activities, or is it Krishna actually reciprocating with the devotee? How should it be understood?
Both. Nothing happens with it. Something like that does not happen without special mercy from Krishna. But it, you know, special mercy isn't dependent upon what you did or what you have a nature of doing during the day. But there certainly is a correlation. Krishna reciprocates with those that are attracted to him.
This question is from Jyotirmaya Mataji. Guru Maharaj, you said when the heart is open, bhakti enters. What about someone who is not exposed to bhakti or devotees, but still take up the process so well?
How can they take up the process without association? I'm confused by the question. Let's go to the next.
Next is a comment in Facebook by Harita Mataji, someone who has been following. We request you to please present the nectar of scripture every day, daily. Last week we were missing this nectar.
Okay. Hi, Krishna.
It's from Visalaksha Prabhu's son, 7-year-old. Mother Yashoda makes a lot of butter for Lord Shri Krishna in his house. Still, why Lord Krishna takes butter from others' house?
He likes to steal. And he likes to steal not because he's a criminal by nature. It's belongs to him, so there's no stealing. Everything belongs to him. But it's the nature of a naughty boy who is stimulating the love of the gopas and the gopis, the elders who own the homes and own the cows and care for the cows. I mean, in other words, Mother Jasoda says to the elder gopis, if he liked butter so much, just give him butter. And they say, we try. But he doesn't want butter that we give him. He just likes to steal. So it's an exchange of love when Krishna does like this. It's an exchange of love with the elders. And so they come to Mother Jasoda and smilingly, very affectionately, they look at Krishna and say, do you know what your son does? He does this and that. It's a stimulation of their love for him. It's a a playful pastime. With the elder, the cowherds, men and women.